Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show, second hour, Wednesday edition. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We have been rolling through the first hour, so many different stories out there, but the Afghanistan disaster remains the focal point of much of the country. Joe Biden mostly silent. Tens of thousands, potentially, of American citizens unable to safely get to the Kabul airport and be able to leave the country. We don't know how bad it's going to get, how long this is going to drag on, whether the Taliban might end up taking some hostages. A guy who has spent a lot of time in Afghanistan, and the most successful aspect of the entire war in Afghanistan actually took place in Pakistan when Rob O'Neill and his Navy SEAL brethren went in and took out Osama bin Laden. Rob, I appreciate you coming on with us. What's your reaction at a, you know, sort of baseline level as you watch everything take place in Afghanistan right now?
Hey guys, great to talk to both of you. Thanks, Clay. Thanks, Buck. It's just very, very frustrating because this was so predictable that it's sad how many people are going to be killed right now. Not in a good way, in a very, very bad way, tortured and killed, and just the amount of slavery that's going to happen with the young girls in that country. They took the military out before they took the civilians out, and they can't even decide it's between 5,000, 10, 11, 15,000 Americans that are there that really, really need the help. And it didn't need to happen this way. It's not black or white. There were definitely ways to withdraw, which we knew we needed to do eventually, but it's going to get really, really bad right now because we are the laughingstock of the planet, and we're a face of complete weakness, no leadership, even to the point where, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the senior officer in the military, I hope he told President Biden, who is a commander in chief, we shouldn't do this. I hope we didn't tell him we should do this, but either way, if he told him not to and the president did that, he should resign. If he agreed with the president, he should be fired. That's when I was at war. If men and women on the ground actually fighting, if we were wrong like this, we either died or we got fired. That's it. That's simple. And this is it's a spoof right now.
Rob, it's Buck, man. Good to have you on, my friend. Thanks for being with us. The Afghans on the ground right now who were interpreters and or promise some kind of a visa to the United States. We're seeing a lot of footage of them swarming around the airport. We've got Americans in harm's way. The administration's actually not prioritizing, they said, for all these flights, Americans. So why don't I do that actually for a second here and ask you about the Americans first. What do you think happens here tactically if we get to a point where the Taliban just says, we're not letting some of these Americans through? And we don't know what's going to happen to them. I mean, are we going to have to send in guys, you know, like you to go get them out?
Yes. This, to be perfectly honest, this is not a complicated problem. You jump in the 82nd Airborne, you fly in some Marines, and then you go kill everything that looks at you the wrong way. Simple, period. That's what we do. We've lost that in this woke culture of political correctness and garbage that, we have Marines. I'm not making this up, and I just found this out. I'm still in touch with some people in Afghanistan. They're saying that right now the Taliban are torturing people right outside of the walls of the airfield. Marines and soldiers are being told to stand down. Why aren't every one of these officers fired? This is insanity. Marines can go in there and kill. That's what they do. Soldiers can go in there and kill. Infantry can kill. We can do this. We fought the Taliban and Al-Qaeda in 2001, 2002, and crush them. We can do it again. We're just weak right now. We would rather have symposiums on, hey, you're this soldier, but you have to use this bathroom, and it's nonsense.
Rob, what should happen? I know we're still, the first answer is we got to get as many, hopefully all of the American citizens out of Afghanistan safely as we can. But you're starting to see military and intelligence officials throw Joe Biden under the bus and say, we told him that this was what would happen if we pulled out, that the Taliban were advancing rapidly. So far as I know, it's rare that we've seen Biden take any shrapnel like this from military and intelligence advisors. Where do we go from here with the Biden administration and this disaster of a fallout?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do with the Biden administration is figure out who's actually in charge and who's making the calls, who's doing what. And I wish we could trim the fat, but we don't really do that because everybody wants to stay in power because eventually they're going to work for the military industrial complex and get a cush retirement. The reality here is we need to decide how we're going to take Bagram Airfield back before China does. If you'll notice, the Chinese embassy in Kabul did not close. The Russian embassy in Kabul did not close. There's some stuff going on right here. And there comes a time that you need to plant your feet, stand your ground, and kick somebody's ass. And that's where we're at right now. I don't think we have the leadership to do it. I don't even know who the leaders are because it seems like everyone goes on vacation. We can't even hear from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. We get a national security advisor who, in his defense, has basically no idea what he's talking about. And he's trying to define when someone asks him, well, why did the president go on vacation again? And he's just trying to stumble over his words with, I know how he works, and that's not the case at all. And it's a sad state of affairs. We do have the people to go in and win this again. We just don't have the willpower or most people in the media or on social media are basically lying to not just Americans but to the entire Western world of what's actually going on. The realization that just because you don't want to be at war with someone doesn't mean they don't want to be at war with you. And that's where we're at. And, we can give it to the Taliban and hope they never do anything, but hope doesn't get us a long way.
We're speaking to Rob O'Neill, who's a former Navy SEAL and was the man who shot bin Laden on that raid in Abbottabad about a decade ago now. And Rob, I wanted to ask you, as somebody who was as up close and personal in this fight as literally any person could be, do you feel like we should have stopped, we should have withdrawn right after we got justice, thanks to you and your team and all the people that put you there, against bin Laden? Or would you have wanted there to be some kind of residual special operations force staying either behind or at least in the region to do the counterterrorism mission? I mean, what on the strategic level, what would you have recommended?
For that area of operation in Afghanistan, there's obviously mistakes made. And the way you get successful is you learn from your mistakes, and that's fine. I'm not blaming anybody for that. We shouldn't have done a huge surge like we did, but we really should have kept an airfield in Jalalabad, which we had, which is really nice, and then Bagram Airfield, and then obviously in Kabul, just for the counter-terror operations across the border, drone strikes, whatever we need to kill someone, keep them right there. But the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS were afraid of Bagram Airfield. All we had to do here, and I wish I was at least in the room or invited to one of the birthday parties with no masks where I could tell people, here's how silly it is, and not silly, but I'm trying to explain to your listeners, I'm not making this up. We have Bagram was a fortress. We could defend itself. We have pilots, mechanics, everything, a hospital, a prison, all that stuff. We can have our brave pilots bomb the Taliban and literally be back in time for karaoke night and green bean coffee. That's how we had it. And look, would you rather go to Germany for a deployment? Yes, but if you have to go to Afghanistan, it's fine. Not that bad of a place. They're scared to death. They will not try to do anything. Air power will win. And instead, we just left. We kind of didn't even have the courtesy to throw the Afghans the keys. Just leave. And then, obviously, I don't know what are they calling a military something that the Taliban have their hands on. But that, they mean machine guns, guns, and tanks. That's what we gave to them. Keep a presence. Because if you keep Bagram Airfield right there in that part of the world, now you have a foothold against China, against Russia, against our enemies to the south, Iran. You're just there. Now, which is going to happen because we never learn from our mistakes. I mean, the fall of Saigon looks almost better than the fall of Kabul. But now we have to fly jets and bombers from other countries, aircraft carriers, refueling. Just the logistics involved is so complex now when we could have just flown from Bagram, killed them, home.
And Rob, what do you think of the Taliban advance? Obviously caught this administration by surprise. That's clear. But there's a lot of back and forth over the Afghan army folding. Was this inevitable? Was this known? Was this surprising? I mean, from your experience working alongside some of our Afghan partners in the fight, and when you saw this whole thing unfold, what were your thoughts?
Now, again, some of the the best, most loving, caring people I've ever met have been in the country of Afghanistan. And that is a fact. And they're great people there. And most people in a war zone are just trying to get on with their lives. And I truly feel for them. Having said that, we used to do things that towards the end of my service, we were calling them Afghan-led missions, which is complete nonsense. Working with them, look, if you train someone for 20 years to fight, they should at least be a black belt, right? And the guys on the ground were saying, here's what will happen. If we're arming these guys with these weapons, the Taliban will have them eventually. And here's, look, and I know people want to be politically correct and say, no, I knew some of the best fighters, you know. Here's proof, and sometimes I get in trouble for telling the truth. Here's the truth. If we've been training you to fight for 20 years, giving you the weapons, the vehicles, and all that stuff, and you have twice the amount of fighters as the Taliban and you lose in 3 days, my guess is someone is not fighting.
I think that's fair to say.
No doubt.
Rob, yeah. Man, thank
and
go
I
ahead, Rob.
But one more thing, too. If you notice, you saw that C-17 taking off with about 800 people on it. There's a heck of a lot of fighting-age males there that aren't fighting, and I didn't see one mask.
There were not masks. I agree. And nor were they telling everybody.
And how is COVID not killing the Taliban? They took over the whole country, and it doesn't seem like COVID has even had any impact on them.
Yes, well, in a sense.
We don't even know what their preferred pronouns are.
Well, you got to figure the COVID doesn't hurt a lot of people in Afghanistan because they don't have television.
There you go. Rob O'Neill, everybody, former Navy SEAL. Book is The Operator. If you haven't read it,
it's a great book.
Go check it out. The man who shot Bin Laden. Rob, thank you, man. I know you have a lot of people that say thank you to you all over the country, but we thank you for that and for joining us here today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, I appreciate it. Any time, guys, congratulations on the new show, too. It's awesome. Appreciate it.
Thank you so
appreciate
much.
That.
Thanks so much, brother. We'll talk to you. We'll come back here in a second with the madness of COVID in NYC, plus getting a powerful ally, if you will, in my anti-Fauciite crusade.
Yes,
here.
We need more.
We need more. We are joining forces with Joe Rogan in the Fauci
biggest
is
radio
full of
show.
Crap.
Biggest radio show meets biggest podcast in an alliance against Dr. Fauci. I like the sounds of that.
I will take on all comers. I am not afraid. I will put Joe Rogan in the guard position, and then I will knock out Clay and Buck with a whirlwind kick. He's got plans for us.
Eight masks on right now too.
But we'll come to that in a second. If we've learned anything since 2020, it's that your immune system is absolutely critical. You know this, right? I mean, the data proves this out. You want to stay as healthy as you can in general. Over 20 years ago, naturopathic doctor Dennis Black of Texas invented Texas Superfood. This is the original superfood. Dr. Black knows that your immune system's job is to detect, deflect, and destroy bacteria you come into contact with, and you need to have the right stuff in your body to help your immune system get there. Texas Superfood boost your immune system better than anything else on the market. It's, in a sense, the safety net for the American diet because it gets you all the good stuff from your fruits and vegetables, plus probiotic and digestive enzymes. So if you can't, won't, or don't eat all your fruits and veggies every day, Texas Superfood was made for you. Start boosting your immune system right now for under $2 a day. Go to TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. That's TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. Man, how great was Rob O'Neill right there, Buck? Absolutely fantastic.
The guy you want next to you in a firefight.
Yes.
Literally the guy.
Yes. We need to get him on again soon, too. I know he's a big sports fan. Lighter stories potentially coming down the line, but awesome dude. We got a couple of people who want to weigh in. Want to let you know, biggest radio show, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, biggest podcast, Joe Rogan, uniting the Twin Towers here, going after Dr. Fauci. We're going to play some audio for you right after the bottom of the hour, but a lot of you have been waiting and want to get in and being able to react. And let's go talk to Hutch, who was a sergeant from Minnesota. He's up in Minnesota now. You helped evacuate non-combatants back in the day, Hutch, in Germany in the 90s. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, real quick and to the point, it's called the non-combatant evacuation order. And any time that you're planning base operations, that's one of the first things you put into place, so that if it looks like things are going to turn south, you immediately get your non-combatants out. What this guy has done is the Titanic's going down. He's putting the women and children in the hull and putting all the guys on the boats. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a mess. When you watch this footage, and the Biden administration has tried to dodge how chaotic it has been, how does it compare with what you saw in your experience in Germany in the 90s?
It makes no sense at all, because like I said, there right now what everybody needs to be looking at is who was the highest ranking officer that was in charge of enacting the non-combatant evacuation order for Afghanistan, because they obviously, they just walked away from it. They didn't do anything with it. And, you know, they pulled their combat troops out and left all the non-combatants in there.
Which is a complete failure.
Hutch, how can that... It seems like anybody who would think about it for just a few moments would say, that makes no sense. So how do you think this happened, Hutch?
Well, I think it happened from the fact... I was talking to your call screener, and honestly, Mel Brooks couldn't write anything this ridiculous.
I mean, so it is as bad. I mean, you're an expert in this, and it is as bad as we believe it is here on the show, this withdrawal order. This is like a tragic clown show is what we're seeing unfold here. Fair to say.
Yeah. Think about this for a minute. As I told you, screener, this makes that movie, Hot Shots 1 and 2, look like a documentary. Smith, the simple solution... Okay, is this guy's his calling card. He has no idea what he's doing. He's in over his head. And then he's trying to blame the last guy that was in the
It's crazy.
White House.
Hutch, thanks so much, man. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being with us here. Clay, what do you got?
I was just going to say new news that is in. This is, again, we're talking about how all the military and intelligence agencies are running from Joe Biden right now. Leak coming out saying Joe Biden ignored General Mark Milley's request to keep 2,500 troops in Afghanistan and dismissed warnings about the stability of the country from Defense Secretary Austin, according to this report that is out in the Daily Mail.
Let's be honest about this, Clay. This is Milley, who got a lot of heat from conservatives for his whole "I like the woke reading list" nonsense. And, you know, yes, we do need Marines and airmen to tell their pronouns and all that crazy left-wing crap. Got a lot of heat for that. We had Rob O'Neill on with us saying he should resign.
Yes.
If there is a time for somebody in the military chain of command
to fall
on
their sword,
to resign over a debacle, if not now, when?
Well, and the one question you could have is that letting Joe Biden off the hook to throw somebody to the mob when it's ultimately Biden, the commander in chief?
But I think he's trying to keep his job.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Those guys are running for the exits and trying to throw it all on Joe Biden. We got a blame factory situation going on. And here's a blame factory. You don't want to waste money on your phone bill. You know, the average family, thanks to Pure Talk, could be saving $800 a year. It's easy. You can stay on your phone or get a brand new iPhone like my son did. 13 years old, first day of school today. Just texted him saying, "I hope you're having a great day of school." He's got unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data, all for just $30 a month. If you go over on data, which I know a lot of parents worry about, they don't charge you for it. And right now, it's super easy to add Pure Talk. Get your cell phone in your hand right now. Dial #250 and say Pure Talk, and you'll save 50% off your first month. That's #250, say Pure Talk. You get the option to get a one-time auto-dialed text message. You can save up to $800 a year. Do it now.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Buck here, and I'm with Clay in Nashville, in studio, on the screen on Fox a second ago. It was Biden to advise booster shots for the vaccinated. Notice how 2 weeks ago it was for the immunocompromised. Now it's for everybody. Everyone has to get booster shots, which is so strange because, I don't know, I've never gotten a booster shot for a whole lot of other things that I thought I was vaccinated against, Clay. Some of them, and maybe every 10 years.
You certainly don't need them within
every
the
year.
Same year.
You don't need them every 6 months. I mean, this feels a little weird, doesn't it? I think some of us, including here on the show, have been warning you that this was coming. As I've said, it means there's no such thing as fully vaccinated anymore. That does not exist. There's only vaccinated for now.
Yes.
And we're not the only ones who are up on this and who've seen this coming and been right. We are happy that Joe Rogan, who I think defies neat political categorization, the guy who sort of just thinks for himself, has an enormously influential podcast. He sees that Fauciism is absurd, dumb, and wrong. Here's what he had to say on his show about it.
Yeah, there's also a problem with people like him where they say things, they say these statements.
Yeah.
These statements that you're led to believe that they have an understanding of the situation. Like, and they clearly can tell you where it's going and what's possible and where we're at with the virus. But then it turns out they're 100% wrong. But then they come up with a new statement and you're supposed to believe that. Remember, like in the beginning, he was saying that masks are ineffective. He was saying there's no asymptomatic transmission of the virus. There's all these different statements. They were saying that it's just like, when they don't know, they never say we don't know. They don't say this is very confusing and we're trying to figure it out as we go along.
That's the foundational fallacy of Fauciism. That's it, Clay. That they don't admit at any stage that they don't know. In fact, at every stage, even after being wrong, they, Fauci and all the rest of them, insist they do know this time.
And here's what I will say. This is one reason, Buck, that we are so thankful to have the ability to talk to our audience every single day like we are. Because what we are telling you is ultimately what gets ends up being said sometimes months later. Look, we are going to have to get for the COVID vaccine. We don't know how long into the future is, but I just want you to sit there and just in your own mind, think about this. Have you ever gotten a vaccine in your life that you had to get an additional vaccine to supplement the vaccine that you just got in the same year that you got that vaccine? As an adult, right? There are different things that you do with kids, with the shots that you get your kids when they're babies. And if you got young kids like I do and you take them in and you have that awful feeling, Buck, where you put the kid on the counter and they have to get their, you know, shots and the kids go crazy because they've never seen a needle before. Look, we're not anti-vax on this show, but what is happening with the COVID, and I'm putting vaccine in quotation marks, is unlike any vaccination that has ever existed as adults or even as kids that you can remember in any of your lives. We're not talking about a booster shot, Buck, a decade from now. We're not talking about 5 years from now. We're talking about 8 months after your last shot. You have to go back in because they are acknowledging that the efficacy of these vaccines is fading quickly. We had a big discussion about this with Alex Berenson. We're going to try to get him on a Friday again to give us the latest update. They are terrified that the vaccines are failing and there's going to be ultimately, if the vaccines keep failing, only one way we get done with COVID. The same thing the Great Barrington people told us almost 2 years ago now, 18 months ago. You have to get natural immunity. The virus is going to virus. It ain't going away.
Right. I mean, to say that the vaccine's failing, they're going to jump on that and say, oh, but that's not, the vaccines work so well. Fading is really what's going on here, right? So it's not that they fail right away. We know that it works. Yes. They work very well for 3 months,
Depends, might depend on your health or your age to how long they last.
But let's remember, that's not what we were told.
No.
That's not the promise that was made.
Fauci told us the opposite.
And in fact, at every stage of this, a continuing issue has been that they insist that this time the data, the science has evolved to a place where they're certain now they have it right. And this was all the way through to this last spring when the promise that was made was get the shot, you're done. Remember,
you never have to wear a mask again.
The CNN anchors running around, you know, tweeting out photos. I got my shot. I got my freedom. People were crying had a chance of dying from COVID because they were 30 and, you know, had no comorbidities. Their chances were minute to begin with. But they're, oh, my life is all back. But see, here's why I'm so concerned, Clay, because now what you see is they managed to get the architecture of vaccine mandates in place for this round in some places. What's going to happen is that they're going to push at a federal level as the vaccines do fade. They're going to say, sorry, all hands on deck here. We're going to have to make even more people. So even if you live in Texas, you live in Florida, you live in states where the governors are trying to protect you, the push pull will be that the Democrat Biden administration and, of course, the media, who are reckless morons on this issue. I mean, how many people do you think who are calling Alex Berenson a vicious idiot
killer,
who was killing people in June when he talked about the Israeli data about vaccines fading? How many people do you think are going to reach out to him and say, or even just publicly say, wow, I was wrong? Not at all. To borrow from the Great Rush, the drive-by media in effect here. That's what they're going to do. They're going to move on to the next battle. Forget they were wrong about the last one on COVID and pretend like we can't see what's really going on.
They say the same thing about us, by the way. How dare you point out that masks don't work? How dare you? I mean, you should see the stuff that I got last week when I went in at my local school board, my kids go to school, and argued that masks make no sense. And it makes no sense to put kids in them. What is going to happen here is going to be a really difficult pivot. Look, I'm just going to be honest with you, because in May, ain't that long ago, in May, we were all told, get the vaccine, you'll never have to wear a mask again. That was what Joe Biden came out. He said, by July 4th, 70% of Americans have gotten the vaccine. COVID's over. We're going to have independence from this virus. We're going to have a hot guy summer. We're going to have a hot girl summer. Yeah. We're going to have
unbelievable experience. It was victory day. We were celebrating this past spring.
And now they're going to say, oh, by the way, the vaccines fade so quickly that 8 months after your most recent vaccine, you have to go get a new one. And what, are we going to get booster shots on the vaccine every year for the rest of our lives?
At some point, we're also going to have to face the reality that there are people for whom Australia and New Zealand, and when I say some, there are millions of them. They are here in America, perhaps tens of millions of them, who see Australia and New Zealand doing things that, they're not just utter madness because it's not a worthwhile trade-off of liberty versus security or safety from the virus. It doesn't even help. The things that they're doing don't even make sense, right? This is the mask up between bites philosophy. And there are people here who see that and say, well, that's the next step, obviously. They're not terrified by the dystopia, Clay. They want to mimic Australia and New Zealand.
And the problem with Australia and New Zealand, aside from the insane liberty violations and freedom issues and the fact that they're not actually saving very many people, is, Buck, COVID zero is predicated on the idea that COVID zero can ever exist. The vaccine is not some panacea that's now going to save everyone and return things to normalcy. The virus is never leaving. And so you either got to sack up and realize that the rest of the world.
That's a microaggression.
Yeah. That you got to realize that you can't stay curled up in a fetal position and be saved by this vaccine. You are going to have to live your life with a certain level of risk. And I hate to kill everybody's buzz right now, those of you out there drinking, but I hate to kill your buzz, but we're all going to die. And there's no way to stop it from happening. And some people are going to continue to die from COVID for the rest of our lives.
I just feel like there's a lot of alpha male mansplaining about mask-splaining going on in here today, Clay.
Maybe I need to share my pronouns when we come back. I'll share my pronouns when I come back.
Here's something we want to share with you. The amazing products from our friend Mike Lindell at MyPillow. I mean, the one problem I have, I told Clay this, I can't sleep as well on the road. I'm here in Nashville. I'm staying in a hotel. Because I'm going to have like the MyPillow stuff sent ahead for me so I can have my Giza Dream sheets, my towels, the My Slippers, the robes. Ooh, the robes are so plush. Better than the robes at the hotel, to be honest with you. You got to try Mike Lindell's MyPillow products now. Of course, the MyPillow, the centerpiece of the whole thing. He's offering the sale of the year on his Giza Dream sheets. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton. They're ultra soft and breathable. And Clay, as we know, extremely durable too.
Man, I love these sheets. We got them on all the beds in the house, me and the boys in the house. Multiple colors, styles, and sizes. And right now you can get an unbelievable offer. You get 50% off with the promo code Clay and Buck. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. You can go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials to get the Giza Dream Sheets as low as $49.99 with the code Clay and Buck, or you can call 800-792-3269 and get hooked up today. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Want to encourage all of you out there to go subscribe to the podcast. Give us 5 stars. I'm going to put Dub here on the staff in charge of going through and looking at the 5-star reviews. He's nodding his head right now at me. Hopefully we have some good ones out there. Go subscribe. Make sure you don't miss anything. Rob O'Neill, Buck, was phenomenal to start off this hour. We're going to talk to Amber Smith next hour. Tommy Lahren was great, the governor of Tennessee, and Matt Walsh, our boy, was in studio with us, and he kind of created some stir. So Matt and I both spoke at our local school board hearings here in the state of Tennessee. He did it in Nashville. I did it in Franklin, Brentwood, Williamson County area. And we both pointed out that masks make no sense and they don't protect kids, and there's still lots of people fighting those battles who are idiots. But Carrie Underwood, Buck, liked Matt Walsh's argument at the Nashville school board. Liked it. She didn't even retweet
it. Not Carrie.
She just liked it. People went through her likes, saw it, and it was one of the top trending topics on social media. How dare Carrie Underwood believe that kids don't need to wear masks at school? And by the way, how pathetic are you if you are going through someone's likes and turning what they like into a story?
I didn't even know that was a thing that people do. I mean, but apparently, I guess Carrie Underwood has so many folks out there.
Are so focused crazy on mind control that you can't even like something that they disagree with.
I just hope that, and I don't want to give any ideas out there, I hope she doesn't do the "it was an accidental swipe" or like or whatever. You know, that's the way to always get out of this. Or, "oh, it was an intern on my staff" or something.
That
would be the obvious celebrity move here. But, I mean, it's Carrie Underwood. Who doesn't love Carrie Underwood?
She's
Everybody
fantastic.
Needs to calm down. Fantastic. The best talent, in my opinion. Although people like Kelly Clarkson a lot, too, to come out of American Idol. And I got to say, this is just a reminder, Clay, that the mask, think about this. The mask cult is so extreme. I mean, they are kind of they're the Fauciite Taliban, if you will.
Yeah.
If you go against,
they don't brook dissent,
the orthodoxy, they come after you with a frenzy. And what, remember how masks were supposed to be protective for the wearer? And then they realized, because of the Danish study, which I got dinged for this on social media, but it turned out it was true. The Danish study said it didn't really do anything.
Yes.
And they said, well, they theorized it prevents spread. They never proved this.
There's no data.
And the things that they've actually relied on, the actual studies that people tweet out because they're pathetic and can't think for themselves, are guys basically sitting there with a spray bottle and a cloth mask, spraying into the mask and going, "see, fewer droplets," as the Fauci would. "The fewer droplets that come through the mask, Clay, the less virus in the air."
And this is interesting, too, for the Carrie Underwood. For those of you out there may or may not remember this, but she married Mike Fisher, who was a really great NHL player. They live here in Nashville. And Mike Fisher got crushed. I don't know if you remember this, Buck. Mike Fisher went on Candace Owens' show and got just, he's retired now as a hockey player, but the people out there, the blue checks, were aghast at the very idea that Mike Fisher would deign to discuss anything with Candace Owens. How dare he? So I tie this in because they're both real Daily Wire people. Carrie Underwood's probably one of us, Buck. She is. Hey, we brought Joe Rogan into the fold to lead our revolution against Fauci. I would love for somebody like Carrie Underwood, I don't think she'll do it, but I would love for her to just go double birds at her critics and be like, "guess what? I've looked at the data. I don't think masks work. If that infuriates you, have at it." What we need are some of these celebrities, right, to be willing to go double barrel birds at all these losers, right, the blue checks, because what do they really do?
She's not going to, first of all, no, she's not going to lose real audience over this.
You don't lose people, just
always,
own
right,
what you believe.
There's always an excuse here for, "oh, but, you know, I the people who work for me," or there's a, if no one's willing to, if you can be a, I mean, to say a multimillionaire is just beginning, barely scratching the surface, but you're an ultra rich celebrity who is going to run scared from, this is not some minor issue either. I mean, this is the future of the country right
now. She's got
kids. Matters.
That's why she cares.
It is in the hands of honestly, this lunatic asylum, mask worshiping, Fauciite lockdown obsession. And we have to actually take this away from, we have to take the power out of the hands of those people. And yes, we could use a little celebrity backup. I hate to be the one who has to say it, but it can't just be, you know, the right wing radio hosts and conservative media and one cable news channel that actually makes the case.
I'll say this. If you are worth $100 million or more, right? That's a big standard that very few people get there. If you're worth $50 million or more, heck, if you're worth $20 million or more, how much money do you need in order to not be willing to say what you think? In other words, like, I don't have $100 million right now, but I say exactly what I think. If you're Carrie Underwood or a lot of these other people who I think agree with us, what is the dollar figure that you're afraid of?
You have
as much money as you could ever spend.
You're establishing, I think, or rather at this points out for so many people for whom it's not about the money anymore. It's about the approval of their big, important, famous peer group. It's not about the money if you go to Obama's Martha's Vineyard party. It's about being at Obama's party.
Throw up the double birds.
Of course, I don't care.
I don't care about any of that.
Well, you said you'd go. I would neither go nor be invited.
I would have gone to the party because I don't care if people hate me at a party. I really don't. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. That's my wife says my superpower is.
Can we put out right now, Carrie Underwood? Carrie Underwood, come on the Clay and Buck show.
You got an open invite.
Open invite.
If you won't come, Mike Fisher has an open invite. We know he's done Candace Owens. He can stand in for you. But yeah, I think my wife says my superpower, Buck, is that I genuinely don't care what anybody thinks. Now, I care about my wife and my kids, but really, I really don't care. If you have that kind of money that a lot of these celebrities do, and you look at the data and you've got a functional brain, own it. When we come back, Buck, we got Amber Smith. We're going to be talking more about Afghanistan. Lots of stuff.
New York City pushback on the vax mandates now that it's real.
Finally.
It's crazy time. We'll get into that and a big third hour coming your way. Stick around.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.